Alrighty, hello everyone and welcome back to the Reformed Dissenters. That's us, we're the show where Reformed Christians dissent against popular ideas of culture by asserting a biblical worldview. My name is Bruce Johnson, joined of course and as always by my brother Jacob Johnson.
Hello everybody.
And we're also joined by yet another special guest, Aaron Youngren. Welcome
hello,
to the show.
Hello.
It's good to have you here.
Great to be here.
And Aaron Youngren works at Revolun. We worked together for a while. He was my former boss at Revolun and wrote this tremendous book, Undiscovered, which we are going to be discussing parts of today, in addition to just kind of Moscow life, but particularly some of the incredible things that Mr. Youngren here has written in his brand new book, which is on Amazon, I think, right?
Would you say incredible and life-changing?
And life-altering.
Life-altering?
My life will never be the same after this.
Good.
So lots to get into there, talking about digital products, but also just products in general.
Yes.
So it'll be a really fascinating conversation. We're always trying to apply all of Christ, all of life, and creating digital products, creating products in the world in general, starting a business and creating things that are good quality and doing them as unto the Lord is a really important thing. So we're going to talk about that today. Before we get into all that, though, we have to do what we always do, and that's talk about our verse of the week. And because it's Friday, Jacob is going to do that today. So take it away.
Alrighty, our verse this week is Genesis 9, verse 1, which says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" And that is Genesis 9, 1. I wanted to also move over to Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, which give us a little bit more on this filling the earth and multiplying, where it talks about children being a heritage. And Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He should not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate." And that is Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5. I wanted to speak a little bit about the fact that this filling of the earth, this blessing to Noah, is these children, right? Children are a reward, as this verse says, a fruit of the womb. And we should think of it as such, right? We've just had a life day or life month. We are currently in life month. And so this is something that should definitely be talked about a lot nowadays, especially since Roe v. Wade was overturned. An amazing, amazing thing that happened. But that's why we celebrate life day and life month. And this should definitely be something that us as Christians, we should celebrate the fact of us having children, us having life, us bringing these godly men and women into this world to be fruitful and multiply in the earth. And as God gave the command to Aaron to also subdue the earth, not just be fruitful and multiply in the earth, but also to take dominion and subdue it. So that is a little bit of what I'm talking about. That's a little bit what I wanted to speak about it with this verse. Bruce went over this a lot on Monday, and specifically in his theological wrap-up. So if you have not heard of that yet, go back to Wednesday episode.
You got what I had last.
Go back and listen to that one. Yeah. So with that said, nice.
Yeah, that's great. And one of the things that, you know, when you're talking about life, you're talking about this concept of children being a blessing, and particularly when we're talking about children being a blessing in this month, there's so many things in June to pull apart, particularly the fruitless marriages that used to be celebrated by the heathen in June that we're now saying, no, now we're celebrating actual life, actual marriages that produce actual life. And we're celebrating life not being murdered in the US, right? Where that is no longer a protected right. And we are celebrating that. And the reason we as Christians value life, there's so many reasons. A, we're told to, obviously, but also, and we talked about this on our I almost said Monday too, Jake. Darn it, you're getting to me. We talked about this on our Wednesday episode where children are arrows. They go out in the world And as we talked about on our Wednesday episode, there is this idea of covenantal succession. There is this concept of children going out, growing, doing things, changing the world because they're able to stand on the shoulders of the people that came before them. And a huge part of that is related to what we're going to talk about today. Aaron Youngren's book is called Undiscovered, Adventure, Conquest, and the Search for Great Products. And a huge part of this is talking about developing products, right? Developing things that businesses produce. If you had to, first of all, could you give us a brief summary? I know you worked at Amazon.
Sure.
You've been in a couple places. You've got like brief bio because you've done a lot of things with with your life.
Yes, I have a very strange career. So one of my first jobs, young man, newly married, I went to work for this strange new company called Amazon.com. Very early years, just around the time when they started selling more than books. Really had a wonderful. It was kind of a right place, right moment job.
Wow.
And in that job, one of the stories I tell in the book is I had a very strange experience. I was sitting in probably the least adventurous place in the universe in a drab gray cubicle, copy paper stacked neck high all around in the accounts payable department. And I had many, many moments sitting there typing on a computer in an Excel spreadsheet where my blood was racing, my adrenaline was racing, and I was on a high seas adventure.
Wow.
And most people do not.
In accounts processing or accounts payable.
That's right. People, when they think about the modern workplace, they can't conceive of it as a adventure. And that really, I think, means that we're just doing it wrong. So
that's a really good perspective.
So started my career at Amazon.com. And then from there, the Lord blessed me quite a bit. I was able to work on several products that ended up making the company a lot of money.
Yeah.
I received an award from Jeff Bezos himself.
Oh, wow.
He is kind of strange as he looks. And in a big, big, big crowded hall. And then after 7 years of that, I went off to plant a church.
Wow.
I got to pitch our church plant to the number two at Amazon, the CFO at the time, just kind of an odd experience. But then I went off to Chicago and planted a church right in the heart of the city for 9 years.
Wow.
And so there was a kind of an interesting contrast from this high visibility, high reward, adventurous job into real spiritual warfare at a time in our country when, you know, cities typically see what's happening first.
Yeah.
And we had a front row seat to all of the issues that we are experiencing in the evangelical world today. Mm. Those were all happening in Chicago, you know, a decade, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
After a while, it became pretty clear that it was going to be either this church plant in Chicago or my family. And one of them had to go because it was just a long uphill battle. Well, it wasn't actually. So the family won and I went back to the corporate world. I worked at went back to work for Fortune 100 company, GE Healthcare, and ended up running their analytics department, working with their product people quite a bit.
Wow. So for those who don't know, how would you define product?
Sure.
In this context, because there's a lot of non-technical people.
Well, that's an interesting point you make, because that concept is relatively new, right?
Yeah.
So you have the industrial revolution and kind of a mad rush for improvements in process and technological advances. But it really isn't until probably the 20s or 30s that you have this concept of a professional in a workplace whose job it is to manage innovation, or groups within a workplace whose job it is to manage innovation.
Wow, I like that.
And I suspect, I mean, I from my limited vantage point, it appears that there is quite a lot of bloat in many companies with that particular role. Yeah. For me, it was a very frustrating that in trying to be excellent in my job, you know, the literature all is quite godless, as you would suspect. And that's actually one of the problems I tried to address in my book is I find in a lot of our vocations, we're making the same mistake as we do in any other education, assuming that there are neutral, secular principles that we can adopt wholesale, bring in, educate ourselves, and then implement them in our lives without consequence.
Yep.
That happens in business all the time.
Yeah.
Because while, you know, some of us are fortunate enough to have biblically informed guidelines for business, when it gets down to the tactical implementation of that business, you know, oftentimes we're grasping for things that other people who are coming from a materialist worldview, are coming from a, you know, super sketchy, new agey, you know, postmodern worldview, are saying. And there are consequences for those decisions. I didn't answer your question. So product is basically, it's basically the art of trying to understand what you should build for people that they would buy. And in my book, I argue that actually purchase is the proof that you have built something good because we live in a world where things have value.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. Well, and I think going back to what you said a second ago with the whole, you know, nothing is neutral.
Yeah.
When I think we're living in a day and age where so many Christians, thankfully, by the grace of God, are waking up to the fact that they need to do everything as unto the Lord, right? Right. And they need to build their businesses in a Christian way. They need to do finances in a Christian way, programming in a Christian way, product in a Christian way. Like there are so many things now where we used to, I think previous like generations kind of had this, you know, where they were just, the Christian worldview was so indwelt in them that they were just living out their lives. And it was just like, yeah, of course we're going to go to the Bible to figure out how to do this or like live that way or build it this way. But I mean, for the last, I don't know, several decades, maybe even a century, that idea has just been slowly falling. I think because we are like, oh, look to the experts, right? Like go to the experts.
That's right.
Don't, you know, don't go to the Bible when you're trying to figure out how to build good products.
Right.
Look to the experts. It's probably in this book, but I love one of the lunch and learns you did at Revolun where you went through the days of creation and you went through, this is how we build good products. Let's look at the best product ever created by the best creator.
Right.
And how did he build products? Right. Let's go back to that. You know,
that's right.
Just those concepts. I was flipping through it and I'm like, wait, I recognize this diagram. I recognize that diagram. I'm like, oh, this looks so familiar. You know,
yeah,
I've seen
this.
And it's really, really good. So like, how would you, do you see a lot of other people trying to do this in like the world of product or trying to do it in the world of technology? Or like, is it still kind of sparse trying to apply the Bible specifically?
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not. That was the main driving force for why I wanted to write this book. Really less as a comprehensive treatment of this discipline and a lot more as a spark, as a starting point, an initial conversation, a way to say, and I, you know, it may come as a surprise to you, but a lot of the book is a little on the negative side because I'm trying to hold up these things that we take for granted. And this is where, so we talk about product, but essentially every business has a product, right?
Yeah.
It has a thing that they're selling or they wouldn't be a business.
Yep.
So this is we're talking about something intrinsic to every single business. I wanted to hold up some of these assumptions that we make about our businesses to the light and say, what does this really look like in light of scripture? And let's not go to Gary Vaynerchuk or Jim Collins or, you know, these folks. Is there some common grace in that? Absolutely. That's fine.
Yeah.
let's really try to think hard about what would the Lord have us do? How would the Lord have us build things? How would the Lord have us build our businesses? And, you know, Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Amen. Yeah.
So does it not stand to reason that if we do that, if we fear the Lord in our product making, we will have also a competitive advantage in the fact that we're starting at the right place, right?
Yeah.
Oftentimes for Christians, we can dismiss these things as I don't have time or, you know, yeah, but I have to live in the real world. I'm not a theoretician. I'm not a theologian. What could be more practical than saying, how does the Lord want me to build my business?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are the foundational things that I should be thinking about and building into my business? And what I find is it's a lot more than kind of paying your taxes. Well, here's a boundary over here that says I shouldn't lie. Mm-hmm. And here's a boundary over here that says I shouldn't cheat. And whatever I do in the middle is probably fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's not.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
you got to think creatively about it.
Right. I mean, you know, like Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him, which like goes back to your, you know, work is an adventure. Work is something you should be excited about. You're giving thanks to Christ in your work. Like, thank you, Lord, that I get to do this. You know, there's a Ralph Mattson wrote a book, How to Find a Job You Can Love. And his whole premise is you should wake up every Monday morning and say, thank goodness it's Monday.
You know,
I get to go to work today. Yes. Yeah. You know,
that's right.
Waited all weekend for this, you know, like,
And
then that's such a glorious thing when you can do that as unto the Lord. Do you find that, so obviously your background as a pastor sort of plays into like the theology of where you, you know, found a lot of these sorts of things. Do you find that maybe like being in Moscow and you've been here 2 or 3 years,
3 years, yeah,
3 years. You're an elder at Christ Church.
That's right.
And have you found that like, it hasn't been that long, but I've been here for 8 or 9 months already. It's hard to believe. And even my, you know, theology of how to, you know, build businesses or do technology or all those things, even that's, you know, already changing for me. And I'm learning new things every day working with Christians. Have you found a huge shift in maybe your theology or how you practice some of these things, you know, just being around Christians, like at Red Balloon, like everybody there is, you know, like wanting to work as unto the Lord. Has that changed how you think through things? Or
well, I don't think it's changed how I think through things, but it has changed my freedom to explore and actually work with others that are on the same page. Mm. So most of the ideas in this book, quite frankly, came from my own theological discovery as I was in Chicago, working mostly with fringe Christian professionals trying to help them see that the Lord of the heavens and earth was the Lord of their discipline too. So you had people, for instance, bringing their marriages to, you know, the breaking point because they really wanted to make the best cup of coffee in the world. And so my job was to help them try to understand, okay, well, you're right that nobody else cares about coffee and you do, and it's actually important, right? Because actually we have a lot of, we have a long time to figure out that cup of coffee, but you're wrong to overlook the fact that the Lord has given you higher priorities temporarily. It was a long journey of trying to help people get a vision for, and I would say a post-millennial vision for the length of time that we have to work on these things. Yes, it's important, but you don't need to do it all in a day. By the way, you're not going to.
That's so good.
In the meantime, you could conceivably get a job at 7-Eleven and do a better job at loving your wife. So in the midst of that fulcrum, you know, we were talking a lot to people that were working in some of the best theaters in the world, working in some of the best restaurants in the world, you know, and then normal academic disciplines, talking a lot about work and a vision for work, and not just a vision for work that is work is good. That's fine. Work is something that the Bible approves of. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But talking to people for whom work was, they wanted work to be a great adventure.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in the cities, a lot of times we have it becomes a great idol.
Mm.
So you have to say, well, what God has is better.
Mm.
And I do believe what God has is better. And
Yeah. That's great. That's really great.
Do you ever encounter kind of the opposite of that, where people say that, well, my work doesn't necessarily matter because nothing will, you know, the world is, and this is more of a premillennial or amillennial viewpoint where it says the world is going to go down so far that Christ has to come back and save it, right? Do you encounter people like that then say, so my work doesn't matter, it doesn't matter what I do here, you know, because it's all just going to fall apart anyways. Do you ever have to encounter that, or do you encounter just the people that say, oh, my work matters even more than my family?
Oh, yes. I think the ditches, you know, there's a ditch of I have to quickly get my job done so that I can get back to the spiritual thing I was doing. I see that everywhere, right? I worked with probably one of the worst coworkers that I had that was a Christian ever, worked about 23 hours a week. And, you know, he was a manager of many people, made a really good living, and eventually left the company in disgrace. And I think the way that he justified it to himself, being a Christian and very involved in his church, was, this is the non-important thing that I do here at this company, at this big company, this big greedy company, you know, and then I have to get that done as quickly as possible and min-max my time and get back to the spiritual thing, which is, you know, starving kids, literal starving kids in Africa. And I just think that's really, so Proverbs 25:1 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the honor of kings is to search it out, right? So just let that settle in for a minute and realize God hid things in the world, intending them to be our honor and glory.
Yeah.
Right. God made the world this way. God made it difficult for us to go and find amazing discoveries on behalf of our neighbor. Mm. God ordained that adventure for us. It is not unimportant or unspiritual. It is a work that God did and built into the fabric of our universe.
Mm.
And I would argue that that journey of sacrifice and discovery and excitement, that thrill ride that we can be on in our work, is one that probably is not going to have an end. If the aim of our lives are to love God and love others, and we have a reality as vast as the universe, which will one day be made new, it's probably something God intends for us to do for a long time.
Yeah. Wow. That's glorious. That's really good. So we were also, at the time we're recording this, yesterday was Life Day.
Yes.
Officially, you know, June 24th.
Wonderful.
Very exciting. There was a huge one and a half blocks-ish?
Yeah.
One block, massive. I mean, we just had, how many people would you say showed up to that party?
Hundreds at least. I mean, there was probably 300 or 400 people there at least.
Yeah. It was packed. Wow. It seems like, so this was the third or second one that they've, I guess.
Second one, we did it in a pub. Local pub last time, and there was 50 people.
Yeah. So this is like quadruple the growth, which is incredible. So many booths, all sorts of people. I think, you know, Tapped and Worcester's had, you know, free food, and it was just such a glorious time. And you also, you know, of course, had the protesters, and you had all these hecklers and, you know, people threatening people and all sorts of craziness. So lots of mixed things there, but it was just you you gave a speech at the beginning of before people started singing.
A toast.
Yeah, it was great. A great toast. I unfortunately had to step out for that section, but yeah. I got to watch part of it online. I was like, oh, it's so good. You know, but basically toasting to the kingdom.
Right? Yes.
Like toasting to the victory of Christ. And what I loved was there was the contrast of like the wall of, you know, protesters behind with all the crazy signs and all the, you know, just yelling, shouting, taking the Lord's name in vain, you know, all this crazy stuff. And we're able to stand there, sing at them,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then also say, Christ is king.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, Christ is victorious.
And I don't know if you were there for this part, but after, you know, at some point, I don't know what happened, but probably 20 or 30 teenagers and small children just decided, you know what, I'm going to go talk to these people. And there was vigorous debate for about 2 hours.
Wow.
With the protesters, teenagers. You know, there were a couple of adults there to make sure that it didn't get out of hand.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was wow. It was pretty amazing.
It was amazing. You want to talk about arrows.
Yeah, like. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Wow. Exactly. And the kids saying, am I not worthwhile? Mm. You know, is my life not worthwhile?
Yeah. Well, that one sign, Daniel Fukushima pointed it out in his post, you know, like, my daughter deserves it, or your daughter deserves a choice.
Right.
It's like, what are you talking? Like, choice to live or die? Like, what are you talking? Like,
right.
Thankfully, we chose not to kill her, you know? Like,
yes.
What kind of a sign is that?
I think it's interesting, the very fact that, like, you have that in Moscow to where, there, when you do something that is kingdom oriented, there are people that stand up against you, right?
Mm.
And the coolest part is that the Bible says to that is blessed is you, right? When the world reviles you, when the world hates you, right? That the majority of churches nowadays, right, when they don't do stuff like that, the world doesn't hate them. I say, wait, why does the world not hate you?
Right?
I think that's the big problem is why doesn't the world hate them? Whereas this right here is showing the fact that, hey, guess what? This group of Christians, the Bible says that they are blessed.
Yeah.
By the
Steve
Lord.
Dace would always say you're over the target. Like,
yeah.
You know, when you're over the target, when, you know,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know you're doing the right thing when people stand up and start screaming at you and start yelling at you and holding, right. holding signs. Right.
Yes. Unfortunately, this was quite a contrast because on the one hand, you have hundreds of joyful singing people with their kids dancing around, eating free hot dogs and hamburgers and pizza and passing, you know, and by the way, passing out water bottles and like. Hey,
how
is
horrible.
Anybody hungry? Like,
you know? Free food.
And then on the other hand, you know, it's just really sad. I mean, very angry, sad people.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, I overheard some of the, it was actually very interesting because, you know, obviously people who are protesting life, literally life, are going to look a certain way, usually, right? Mm-hmm. It's not even just a stereotype, like it's generally how they, you know, I guess that's a stereotype, but they tend to, you know, like always look the same. Like they just, you know, will always, you know, dye their hair or shave one side or always, you know, like the women will just shave their heads or they'll just be dressed very immodestly or, you know, like the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And there were several occasions where there were several dads with his children saying, look at that.
That's right.
You see what they look like? Do you see how they're dressing? You see how they're acting? You see the hatred in their eyes and their faces? Look at that. Right. That's where godlessness takes you, right? Like that's where hating life takes you. Look at what they're standing for. These are the people that want to murder babies.
Right.
Look at that. And I was just like, wow, that's glorious.
Yeah.
Those kids will never forget that.
That's right.
You know, their dad taking them aside and saying, just look.
Right. And in a couple of years, they're going to be like, some of these kids, I was like, wait, is that so-and-so's kid? Like out there in the street, like, hey, having this conversation. 16-year-old on 42-year-old.
Mm.
You know?
It's glorious.
Owning the conversation.
Yep. So. Yep. Yeah, there truly is wisdom in the word of God.
Yep.
And even being that young, God's wisdom in them. It really is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. And when you start them that young, that the levels that they'll go to is just incredible. So,
that's right.
Well, this is really great. Are there any final thoughts, final things you want to leave with, final pitch?
Sure.
Why should people get this book, or what should they be considering when it comes to the world of product? Like, let's say they are a product person or they want to get into that world. What would you leave them with?
Well, I would say, first of all, if you are going to start a business at all, any business, these are issues that you need to grapple with. So don't get intimidated by the word product or the thought of that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to figure out, why would I and how would I offer something to my neighbors that they would find valuable enough that they would buy it? Yeah. And is it good when they buy it? Am I being greedy when they buy it? How does that whole thing work?
Yep.
The second thing is, as Christians, we really do need a radical shift in our mindset about this kind of work in particular. I do find that too many of us are kind of punching the clock, not out there on a high seas adventure. One of the things I talk about in my book is this: we're not in a neutral world. And where we can just get by with a competitive mindset, So if you're in a race, the analogy I like to give, if you're in a race and I'm racing against you, I might notice that your stride length is off, or I might think, well, I can take this corner, you can't take that corner.
Yeah.
But if you reach into your pocket and pull out a Bowie knife and slice my Achilles tendon and lead me to bleed out on the road, we're no longer in competition. We're in combat, right? In the last 5 years, we've had these megalithic corporations use the sword of government to compel purchases of an untested product from a frightened and horrified public. We have Hollywood introducing more and more incest and rape stories. Just down the street, they're playing a film directed by Ethan Hawke. You're probably too young to remember Ethan Hawke. Ethan Hawke, who wanted everybody to know, they did a big PR campaign that he had no problem directing his own daughter in her graphic sex scenes in the film. We have, Fortune, the S&P 500, who made 95% of their hires in 2022 were discriminatory. 94% of their hires in 2022 were discriminatory. They were all DEI hires, for which the top executives, 40% of them, their bonuses were tied to those hiring marks. So we're not in a landscape where it's just about competition.
Yeah.
We're in a landscape where the people of God need to have a conquest and combat mindset.
Yep.
We need to think less about how we can compete with these companies and more how we can take them out. So I just would encourage anyone, you don't have to, you don't have to buy my book. It is life-changing. Bruce said that. It's life-changing.
Dramatically changed how I live my life.
You don't have to buy that, but we do really need to be grounded and excited about our businesses. Oh, this is the time for it.
Well, and the principles you have in here are just absolutely tremendous. I mean, just getting to spend 5 or 6 months learning from you and working with you has helped me growing my business and building my business from the ground up tremendously. Like, it's just, I learned so much in such a small, short period of time. So, and most of that stuff is right in there. So highly, highly recommend it. It's tremendous. Well,
awesome.
Thank you, Aaron, so much.
Thank you
for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Thank you all in the audience so much for watching or listening to us today. Don't forget, go to our show website, trdshow.net, where you can watch us for free and censorship free because YouTube hates us once again. So trdshow.net, you can watch all our episodes there. We are looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday when we are back once again. This will be our last episode for 2 weeks. We're going to take a break after that one, so you're going to want to catch that one. Or you'll just miss us for 2 weeks and you won't know why. But until then, have a great rest of your weekend. Have a wonderful Lord's Day, and we will see you next week.
And remember, everyone, in all that you do, do it as unto the Lord.